This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks very much, and good morning, everybody. I suppose, to sum up, I kind of think that the UK does have a very, very strong value proposition, but I think we need to continue to benchmark that proposition against the propositions being offered by our competitors. Just to, by way of organising the talk this morning, I just want to perhaps elaborate a little bit more on what John was saying about the global context. I say something about what do I think we understand by a value proposition, and articulate what our very strong position the UK is actually in, and then say something about benchmarking and why it's been important for us at Glasgow Caledonian to help us to improve the student experience. There are about 150 million higher education students globally, which has been a significant increase just in the last 10 years, over 50%, although one has to say that there's been a less than 5% increase in low-income countries, and I think that to some extent is reflected in the UK too, where much of the expansion has been in, say, the middle classes rather than the lower classes. There are around about 3 million students studying overseas in across the world, and that's predicted to go to about 7 million by 2020. So the competition for those students is going to continue to increase. We've probably got about a 10-15% share, and USA and Australia are very, very strong competitors. Interestingly enough, this kind of, for those of you who are familiar with the Bologna process to try and harmonise education across the European higher education area, similar initiatives are actually now taking place in Latin America, in Africa, in Asia Pacific. And when that starts to happen, that kind of mobility between different regions will significantly increase. Another factor into the competition, of course, is that English itself is being used as a language of instruction, not just in the natural English language-speaking countries, but increasingly elsewhere in the world. And notably, some of the universities in Europe are actually delivering their courses now in English. And all that adds to the competition that we face in the UK. I've always seen this phrase, value proposition. I thought, I'll tell you what, I'm going to actually go and do some homework on that. So I actually thought I'll be a true academic. And I figured out that it was first coined in 93, as far as I can make out, in the Harvard Business Review by Tracy and Versemer. And actually, it was a different way of looking on Michael Porter's work on strategies. They said there were three value disciplines: operational excellence, customer intimacy, and product leadership. And before you get too excited about what customer intimacy is, I'll explain a little more what I mean by that. I had to read it very carefully myself, though. By operational excellence, it's about choosing a particular set of products, but perhaps limiting your range, but being very, very focused on the delivery of those products. And ultimately, if you like, it's the equivalent of the sort of cost focus strategy that Porter was arguing about, and in the product line, in the product world, Dell would be a very good example of that. So it's knowing what your products are and delivering them very, very efficiently, with an eye on the cost. And customer intimacy is actually more around differentiation. It's actually responding very carefully to the needs of the target market that you are working at or trying to work with. And at one end of that spectrum is what you might call mass customization. You're actually delivering, you're listening very, very carefully to what every customer has to say, and you're actually delivering and tailoring a program to suit their particular needs. And then the third one is around product leadership, which is trying to be the best of the leader in outstanding new, shiny, new, bright products, market niches where nobody else has, but you are always pushing the boundaries of the product. So, for example, Nike with its sportswear, and then developing other products to add on to that, such as these sort of pedometers that you fit into your shoe, that's actually then connected to your iPod. Of course, all of these kind of ideas, it's all about understanding what's the fit, what's that kind of balance between price and convenience and quality that your students in the target market that you are working to, what is it they actually want, what are their expectations? You need to understand that very well. And sector leaders probably excel, having decided what type of kind of value discipline they really want to focus on. They're a leader because typically they excel in one of those disciplines but are meeting benchmark standards in others. Drum and Bone wrote a report in 2008, which was commissioned by the government. I think it was written for DIAS, as it was known at the time. And I've taken, the executive summary from that report and tried to map that onto those kind of three value proposition areas. We do have world-class research. I think we try to benchmark that. We try to demonstrate that through the research assessment exercise. Another attractive point is the relatively short first and second degree courses. As you can see with the Bologna process, that's going to move everybody towards similar sort of lengths of courses, so that sort of perhaps edge may reduce over a longer period of time. I think most universities that I've come across and listened to do work very, very hard on aligning their programs with business needs and industry requirements, and that ultimately reflects on the fact that most universities have got a very, very good graduate employment record. We all work, you are probably the testament to that, you all work very hard at marketing yourselves and hence marketing the UK higher education. We do still, through our very rigorous quality assurance mechanisms, perceived to have a very high quality of degree program, and typically our completion rates are pretty high. We have relatively significant numbers of international faculty, and of course English is still a language which is in great demand around the world, and people want to come and study in English to help them enhance their own English language capability. And then the last point I just want to raise is, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, is this kind of a idea of holistic student experience, which is, you know, the title of this particular conference. And I want to just share with you a little bit about what our own experiences have been at Glasgow Caledonian. Before I do that, I genuinely believe in the value of benchmarking, and I'm not here to stand up and plug iGraduate in particular, but I do find that that particular survey is far more valuable, certainly to us, than NSS, and even to our own home spun surveys that we've done in the past. We engaged with ISB 3 to 4 years ago now, and quite frankly, when we engaged with it to start with, we were pretty ordinary, pretty way down the league table, and pretty disappointed with that, because we saw ourselves as an institution which was very student-focused. And so we've worked very hard to understand a lot more about our student expectations using this particular tool to help us to do that. And we've got a lot more systematic about how we respond to the feedback from that particular survey. ISB now has grown, and I know many of you will be in it. And at the moment, they're kind of rolling out the next wave of results. And I think what was encouraging for our particular institution was certainly with the international students. We worked very hard, and we got 50% of our students to actually contribute to that survey. Having done that, we're very confident then of the results that we're getting back from it. In 2008, we were very pleased and delighted, of course, to win an award to reflect the hard work that we've been doing. But quite frankly, we're not. That's 2 years ago, and we're not standing still. We are well aware that there are parts of our experience, whilst generally very, very good. You know, first in Scotland for a number of, for probably 3 or 4 years now, and usually in the top three in the UK for the last 3 or 4 years. But there are particular areas where we know we need to improve year on year. And I think we are going to work with iGraduate and to identify, through using them as a broker service, to actually help us to understand who we might contact to get better. If you've not kind of been in that kind of survey, this is the sort of type of information you might get out of it. The green is us, and the blue is everybody else in the survey. ISB in Europe actually consists, I think, around about 100 institutions, and probably about 60% of them are actually based in the UK, and the rest are in Europe. We are very pleased about being first in Scotland, but we're actually trying to benchmark ourselves much more widely than that now. And I think it's very important for us to do that, because we recognize that we're part of a UK and UK competition. And you know, the experience that one of us, whether it's your institution or mine, the reputation that you develop actually reflects on all of us collectively when we are competing against other countries around the world. You can see, just to give an example, where we've done very well in particular areas there, and we outstrip what the average is for the rest of the sector. But there's a couple of areas there around work experience and careers advice where clearly both ourselves and the sector in general fall short of expectations. And what's becoming increasingly clear, just to give you an example, is that many international students they'll give a lot of support actually to the career services that are operating in universities, but then at the same time say that their employability or work experience is not very good. And they're actually coming with the expectation that it's our responsibility to find them a job. Now, that kind of kicked in when the Scottish government launched Fresh Talent 3 or 4 years ago, and I think the English government followed up very, very quickly beyond that, so you can have this opportunity to stay in the UK for 2 years beyond your programme. That's led or fed an expectation that it's our responsibility to go off and find an opportunity for these young people. So a challenge for us, getting that sort of feedback, is how do we manage that expectation? What can we do with it? That's becoming an increasingly important factor in choice of destination for young people when they come to study. One of the things I was speaking to Will Archer at iGraduate about our performance, he said, and I was saying that I feel that it's not sufficient for us really just to benchmark ourselves against you and my fellow universities in the UK. I want to know how we compare against the best in the world, so that we can make really, really, I suppose, I feel responsible for being part of UK higher education. And if we genuinely want to portray ourselves as providing the best student experience in the world, how can we do that without actually knowing what's going on elsewhere? So iGraduate very kindly provided me with some information. You would have to ask them off the record who country A, B, C, D, E, and F are. If you look down at those particular charts, though, you will see that one country generally is beating us on all the different dimensions, apart from the last one. And I think if I might just point out that's the difference between what a recommendation is, if you like, is the gut instinct view of the student, the holistic view. You can arrive and compute averages for each of these different dimensions. So you'll have 20 questions for arrival and 25 for learning and so on and so forth. And you can compute the answer to each question, and then you can calculate the average, and then you can put it all together and get an average for all that lot as well. And that's asking each student to look at each particular element and consider it in isolation. However, if you say to them, just give me your gut instinct, what's it feel like holistically? What's that student experience been like to you? Would you recommend it? we get a good crit on that, and that's important to us. But clearly, just looking at some of the data, I would say that there is still an opportunity for us collectively to improve the student experience that we have to offer. So let me just, by way of concluding, I think first of all, it's important for every one of us to figure out what actually is the value that we're trying to offer as an institution. We all do have slightly different missions. We are all operating in slightly different target markets. Everybody's got their own kind of combination around that. And it's being very clear about what it is you want to offer and then fitting that to what the students' needs are and expectations are in the target markets that you want to work in. I realise it's a bit more complicated than that because everybody's got many different programmes and courses to offer. In some cases, it might be that they're operating in more than one target market. The middle point is, I think, in terms of managing expectations, we focused a lot on what the students' expectations are and how do we manage that. But as we know, the choice of students in the first place to come to a particular nation, a particular destination, whether it's a country or a university, is hugely influenced by the people around them, the parents or the sponsors or the friends. And it's to what extent are we factoring their perspectives of the student experience into what we do and into the design of that student experience. I think we can do a little bit more on that particular aspect because it's not just the students who will be ambassadors for us, it's also their parents, their friends, their influencers. And the last one, just to perhaps to sum up, in terms of the UK retaining what I believe is a very strong value proposition, I think it is incumbent upon us to find out what our competitors are doing. I think it's very important for us to benchmark ourselves globally, but then to take that back into our local context and design a student experience and act locally to improve the position that we're in. Thank you very much.